Good morning. The scripture will be taken from 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 27. The body is a unit, though it's made up of many parts, and though all its parts are many, they form one body. So it is with Christ. For we were all baptized by one Spirit into one body, whether Jews, Greeks, slave, or free. And we were all given one Spirit to drink. No, the body is not made up of one part, but of many. If the foot shall say, because I am not a hand, I do not belong on the body, it would not for that reason cease to be part of the body. And if the ear should say, because I am not an eye, I do not belong on the body, it would not for that reason cease to be a part of the body. If the whole body were an eye, where would the sense of hearing be? If the whole body were an ear, where would the sense of smell be? But in fact, God has arranged the parts of the body, every one of them, just as he wanted them to be. If they were all one part, where would the body be? As it is, there are many parts, but one body. The eye cannot say to the hand, I do not need you. And the head cannot say to the feet, I don't need you. On the contrary, those parts of the body that seem to be weaker are indispensable, and the parts that we think are less honorable, we treat with special honor. And the parts that are unpresentable are treated with special modesty, while our presentable parts need no special treatment. But God has combined the members of the body and has given greater honor to the parts that lacked, so that there should be no division in the body, but its parts should have equal concern for each other. If one part suffers, every part suffers with it. Its one part is honored, every part rejoices with it. Know you are the body of Christ, and each one of you is part of it. This is the word of the Lord. Amen.
Good morning. So excited to be with you. Can you guys believe summer's almost over? The CNE's going on. I was at Costco this week, and I'm pretty sure I saw Halloween decorations. Just think, we're like 4 weeks away from Christmas decorations. We're now currently continuing our series, Growing Together, Building the Church for the Kingdom, which we've been exploring throughout the month of August. Just a quick recap, because I know some of you have been up north, have been going on family vacations. In week one, we discussed the fact that we have to be rooted in Scripture in order to grow. And the phrase that we kept saying was, before we grow wide, we must grow deep. Yeah, you guys can, let's participate. I love that. Week two, we talked about the fact that we are remade in God's image. And to bear his fruit, we must be reborn. Last week, Pastor Dave came back and he delivered a great message from the Great Commission. And he used one word repeatedly, go. Wherever you are, go. Go where God is calling you. Go to a new spot. He did such a great job. This week, we are going to be talking about unity and diversity, a church for everyone. Now, if you're taking notes, I know many of you do take notes. You want to take out your notepad. The phrase you're going to hear me say a lot this week. Go ahead, Steffi. Is that your uniqueness isn't an accident. It's an assignment. Your uniqueness isn't an accident. It's an assignment. To give you a little bit of background, Paul is writing to the church in Corinth, and Corinth was a very divided church. Earlier in chapter 12, we see that the gifts of the Holy Spirit are present. We see that people are prophets, evangelists, teachers, shepherds, and people are competing over which gift is greater. Could you imagine that? Us putting value on something arbitrary that God gives us? That would never happen in the church. But Paul reminds the church in Corinth that they are one, that there is one Holy Spirit, and he gives many gifts. And he uses this metaphor that the church is one body with many, many members. He talks about the fact that our uniqueness isn't an accident, it's an assignment. And in case you think this is a new concept with the church in Corinth, that is not true. All the way back in the Old Testament, in Exodus chapter 4, verses 10 to 12, Moses makes it clear that he is not comfortable leading and he's scared. He didn't think that he was a good enough public speaker to lead. And God gave him Aaron. So all the way back to Moses' time, people have been scared that their gifting is not enough, that they do not have a place in the kingdom. And we see this throughout the gospel. So I remember in elementary school, I learned the fancy word for DNA. It's deoxyribonucleic acid. If you're taking notes, I don't know how to spell it. But I learned that we have different cells all over our body. The cells in your heart are different from the cells in your kidney, which are different from the skin cells that you have. But if you zoom in on the cell structure, you'll see that it has the same unique DNA. And the DNA is the foundation. You see, as the church body, we have a single structure. Our DNA is Jesus Christ. That relationship with him is the foundation of who we are. And we are many bodies. We are many members of one body. And then I want to expand this a little bit because I want to be very clear. Paul is talking specifically about the church in Corinth being its own body. So Weston Park Baptist Church, we are one body. But Mount Dennis Baptist Church down the street, they are also one body. So the church as a whole is made of many, many bodies. And I think some bodies are healthier than others, just like people, right? Some bodies, they are really focused on growing. They spend time in their scripture. They do a lot of Bible study. They worship heavily. And those bodies are really healthy. Some bodies are asleep. Some bodies are struggling. Some bodies might be in the, I don't know if you guys have this at my house, we have an armchair that my dad always goes in, and he'll always say, I'm not sleeping, and then if you come back, he's got his head back. Not all bodies are doing the same thing. But I want to highlight verse 13. For in the one spirit, we were all baptized into one body, Jews or Greeks, slaves or free, and we were all made to drink of one spirit. This is a really powerful verse because we didn't always know this. And even the disciples, after the Great Commission that was shared with Pastor Dave last week when he preached on it, Jesus says, you are to baptize all nations. All is very clear. It means everyone. But we learn in the book of Acts that Peter, who was there when Jesus said all nations, it had to wait until he interacted with a man named Cornelius. Because Cornelius was not a Jew. And then when Cornelius received the Holy Spirit, Peter was like, oh, you really meant everybody. So imagine the shock that the Holy Spirit is for every single person. Jews and Greeks, circumcised and uncircumcised. It is a huge change. Now we are a very diverse community, right? We have different ages. We have different backgrounds. We have different education levels. We have so much differences. So many differences, wow. And the thing is, what unites us is that we're baptized by the same Spirit. The same Spirit is inside each and every one of us. That is our foundation. So it doesn't matter what you achieve in the secular part of the world. What matters is Jesus Christ is your foundation. And he is going to do amazing things. And I also want to share one more thing with you, church family. He anointed each and every one of you to be part of this body. This body at the corner of Weston and Lawrence. This is your assignment. See, your uniqueness is needed. Nobody has everything, but everybody has something. Many of you know I played rugby in university. And when you play rugby, there's a thing called a scrum. And with the scrum, you all have to lean on each other. And if one person doesn't hold their weight, the scrum falls. And trust me, having 8 300-pound men fall on top of you is not a fun moment. But we all are required to move forward. And we do it collectively. When you're in the scrum, everyone does what's called a bind, and they hold on to each other. And then they count. The captain counts. He goes, 1, 2, 3, push. And everyone pushes together. And when we all push together, meaningful changes happen. We push the other team back, we get the ball. In a church context, I view it as a reminder. See, rugby, there are some glamorous positions, and then there are some non-glamorous positions. And you might be at the front and you might get to touch the ball, or you might be the player who never touches the ball. But if you don't do your specific role, and we cannot lean on one another, we all fall down. We all fail. So don't envy another role, because God made you for the role you have. Think about this from the body sense. I'm sure one of the toughest jobs in the body is being a foot. It's probably pretty smelly in there sometimes, right? But the hand cannot be a foot. You see, the foot is needed for balance and for walking. And if you ever try to walk on your hands, do a handstand, can't do it too well. At least I can't. You see, but the hands probably think they have it pretty rough, you know? You gotta touch it, you gotta touch so much stuff. And you're always on display. It's hard. I think it goes both ways. And Paul makes that very clear. You see, I'm gonna continue with the foot and the hand. The hand cannot say to the foot, you are not part of the body because you're not a hand. But by the same token, the foot should know that even though it doesn't get as much action as the hand, and even though it smells a little bit where the foot has to be, and maybe the foot isn't as much of a priority, that it is still part of the body, and we need it to move forward. See, God made you that way. Whatever your role is, God anointed you to be in the spot that you are. I thank God every single day for Carrie and her amazing voice, because if we had a church full of Toms, we probably would have broken one of these windows. You see, God made Carrie unique, and we need Carrie. Now, there's a lot of you in this room, and I can't go to each and every one of you and tell you why we need you, but I promise we do. And sometimes it doesn't feel like it. I remember my first day in seminary. Lucy talked about Bible college. So where I went to seminary at Tyndale, there is a Bible college and a seminary connected. And a lot of seminary students would go to Bible college, and then they would go to seminary. Now, I went to a public university. And this is Tyndale's chapel. It's beautiful. And I remember sitting in here and how I felt seeing all of these people that had 4 years of biblical knowledge when I spent 4 years studying science. And I was like, I am not equipped. I should not be here. These people are more suited to become leaders of the church. I remember feeling inferior. I remember feeling like I didn't belong. And then I remembered something even better. God can use the most broken ones of us. God can use me. Me, who did not spend 4 years studying the Bible, but spent 4 years studying science, and only knew what I learned from church on a Sunday, that God could use me to build his kingdom. See, the thing is, many of you, you might think, I don't have the knowledge. I don't have The skill set, I'm introverted, I'm quiet, I can't sing. We need you. We need you. When you build a leadership team, the foundation of that leadership team is that we want to reach everybody. If you go back to last week, it says all nations. So if we only have a certain kind of person with a certain set of skills, we'll be really good at reaching a certain kind of person. But we won't reach all people. Church family, I don't know how many of you people you're going to reach, but I know that we need you. Look around in the world we live in. We have people who speak a plethora of different languages. We have people with so many different cultural ideals. And the world is changing and it's different. And not everyone comes to Christ in the same way. But we need you. I don't know what God's going to do, but I know that if you submit, he's going to use you. Your uniqueness isn't an accident. It's an assignment. I want to highlight verse 17. Because sometimes when we think diversity, we think we just tolerate diversity. If you've been to different churches, you know, different denominations, we have different worship styles. Have you ever been to an Anglican church? You know they only preach for like 10 minutes? But they make the Eucharist the focal point of the service. And that brings people closer to God in their way. And have you ever been to a church that is a little different? I'm trying to think of my favorite example. It probably was when I went to church in Nairobi in Kenya. And oh my gosh, church was like 5 hours. And not just 5 hours, we're talking 5 hours, no AC. I was sweating, but man, the Spirit was moving. I didn't even speak the same language. People were breaking off in the tongues, but I saw God moving. I think sometimes in Canada, we tolerate people. Sometimes if you grew up in a more conservative Anglican style tradition, you're like, man, those people are loud when they're clapping. Those people are loud during the sermon. I have a really powerful story about this that we learned in seminary. If you grew up in a very conservative Anglo-Saxon church, you were taught that respect means sitting still and quiet. And if you grew up in a different kind of church, so I grew up in a West Indian church, and I knew if it was quiet, people thought Pastor Jim wasn't doing a good job. Because if it was loud, he was doing good. If it was quiet, he wasn't doing good. Now that threw me off. Because I would sit there quietly like the good Christian boy I was. And he used to come up to me and he's like, so you didn't like my sermon? And I was like, no, I loved it. That's why I was listening. He's like, you didn't move. I'm like, yeah, but I was listening. Church family, you all bring a uniqueness and a background. You all worship in different ways. It's exciting. I loved when Mika brought JJ and Noah up there to dance because I love that they want to dance in the pews. Isn't that a sign of a healthy church when we have so many young people excited and dancing? See, their uniqueness is needed. Now, we all have different roles. We did an amazing event yesterday, and we gave away a lot of backpacks, and a lot of food, and a lot of people got to feel the touch of God's Holy Spirit. We had over 40 volunteers across 3 different congregations. And without any, if one of them wasn't there, we would have felt it. And there were so many people who weren't even on the front lines. I came inside, there were people doing dishes. There were people making food. There were people doing cleanup. There were people going around getting people's information. And they all had different roles. And you know what I loved? Not one person complained. Because they knew We had to have a kingdom mindset. That they were there to do one role. Whatever God had told them, I need you to do today. And they did it. And you know what that led to? That led to us getting over 20 signups of people who wanted to learn more about Jesus. Isn't that the goal? And the thing is, it had nothing to do with good preaching. It had nothing to do with great worship. It had to do with a body of believers coming together. And all of their unique skills led to Jesus being glorified. That's the foundation of the church. See, we see in verses 21 through 26 that weaker or stronger, we need each other. We need to grow. And I want to highlight this because it's important to me. I want to give a huge, huge thank you to Pastor Shara. She did amazing. She led camp all week. And you know what she did on Saturday? She showed up and gave out backpacks. And she ran a station for the children. Now, Pastor Shara, she doesn't preach, but she does God's work each and every single day. She's the kind of pastor that embodies the love of Christ. I just had to say, it blew me away that I saw her after working almost 50 hours last week for her to come and care for people. It touched my heart. Now, I want to talk to you about a common thing that we've all dealt with. I have a coffee table in my living room, and I loathe this coffee table because I've stubbed my pinky toe on it more times than I can count. Now, if you know anything, you don't think about your pinky toe that often, right? Until you stub it. And then, oh, why do I need this useless toe? Nothing gets me heated like I'm trying to walk to the kitchen quietly. And boom. And then you can't scream in pain because you wake up everyone else in the house. So you're there just quietly crying to yourself. See, the pinky toe seems useless, but it keeps balance. And we need it. And then I thought about the kidneys. My dad has had some health issues recently, and he's going to be starting dialysis because his kidney function isn't that good. See, we didn't know that there was actually a chance the kidneys were the problem because he's diabetic. And we assumed it was something with his diabetes. See, the kidneys are very hidden. We don't think about them. We don't pray about them. But trust me, when we found out that his kidney function wasn't as where it needed to be, we started. Church family, I know some of you might feel hidden, like you don't get enough credit. I know some of you might think that we don't know your name, but you come here every Sunday. I know some of you might not feel like you're supported and loved, but I want to tell you that you are essential. And it's not just me saying that, because we're going to go a little further into Scripture, and I promise God says it too. But we need you. You see, honor comes from God. So if you're a pinky toe, a big toe, the eyes, the mouth, the nose, you're essential. And we need you. But I want to highlight verse 22. On the contrary, the members of the body that seem to be weaker are indispensable. See, often we believe that this verse specifically applies to new believers. Because what does weakness mean? It means not knowing your Bible as well, not being as rooted in Scripture. I want to address two things with that. One is that it's anyone who feels overlooked or unsure, God says you're essential. And we need you. Number two, I thank God for the new believers each and every Sunday. Because we need you. You challenge me so much. I've spoken at a lot of conferences. And it's easy to speak at a conference because everyone's a pastor. And they have a baseline understanding of the Bible and theology, and I can use big words. And it's very simple. We use a jargon that pastors know. But when I know that there are people in this church who are so diverse, we have people who've been believers for 60, 70 years, and we have people who this is the first time they've ever stepped foot in a church. And the same passage, I have to figure out, how can I explain it so that the people who know the Bible so well can learn something, and the people who have never heard any of this can feel like they're loved and accepted. It's a real moment of vulnerability for me. And I want to say so much, a massive thank you to those people who think that they are not as strong because they don't know their Bible. Because you challenge myself, you challenge Pastor Allen, and you are essential because you remind us that we are continuing to grow. And this church is a living organism. And that we are continuing to see growth in God's kingdom. I also want to give a warning. If you're part of this body and you only grow and you don't give, you're not helping the body. See, the church isn't healthy when parts only grow for themselves, but they don't serve a function in the broader community. Be a contributor, not a consumer. Be a contributor, not a consumer. Because your uniqueness isn't an accident. It's an assignment. Yeah, say it with me. Your uniqueness isn't an accident. It is an assignment. Now, I know what you might be thinking. I might not have the skill. But sign up for something, and God is going to use you. Church family, there's not a better time to get involved. September, we have new small groups launching. We have new seminars launching. I can tell you, we need more youth leaders. We need more young adults leaders. Pastor Shara needs more teachers and leaders in Bible school. I can tell you we need more worship leaders. We need more musicians. We need more people to serve. And we need your unique perspective. Because that is what allows us to grow. You know what else we need? Stuff we aren't even prepared for yet. Church family, God is going to give us more and more ministry opportunities. And if you have a skill set, and if you don't think you have one, I promise there's a spot for you to serve. We need more greeters. We need more ushers. We need more bookkeepers. We need everyone. I guess what I'm saying is, we need you all. We need each other. It says this in verse 27. Now you are the body of Christ and individually members of it. Let me say that one more time. You are the body of Christ and individually members of it. Courtney, you are a member of the body of Christ. Darcy, Tom, Sean, you are all members of the body of Christ. Roy, Stephen, Dave, you're all members of the body of Christ. I can't go through everyone's name or this sermon's going to be too long. But let me make it clear. You're a member of this body. So I need you to see the body, church family. Every part of the body has a function. And the functions serve the body, not themselves. I have a really, really funny story about this. And not ha-ha funny, but ironic funny. When I first came to Weston Park Baptist Church, there were two people that interviewed me. It was Lucy and Darlene. And Darlene always says, I didn't like him that much. And Lucy was like, you know, he's not that bad. And during the second part of my interview, I met with Pastor Allen. I was like, Pastor Allen, am I ever going to have to preach? And he's like, no way, man. You won't have to do it. I love preaching. You won't have to do it at all. And I was like, okay, cool. Like 2 weeks later, we went out for coffee. He's like, you know, man, I've been really thinking you should do more of this preaching stuff. And I was like, but you said. See, we're Pastor Allen, myself, Pastor Bonnie, Pastor Shara. We're also members of the body. I'll be candid with you, church family. I don't enjoy preaching. I've grown to love preaching to you because I love you. But if you ask me if I love studying, if I love dissecting the original Greek and Hebrew, I much prefer to be out in the community. But I don't serve myself. I serve the body. So when the head of the body tells me, Pastor Tom, I need you to preach, 100%, Pastor Allen, I will be there. And I will do my absolute best. Now I'm asking you, as you sit here on a Sunday morning, to move from a consumer to a contributor. And I don't just mean contribute financially, although tithing is part of worship. I'm asking you to find a way to be involved. We could have used more volunteers yesterday. We would have found a role for you. Church family, there will be something for you. I want to ask you from the bottom of my heart, will you serve Jesus with me together? Can we do it together? Knowing that there's no qualification, there's no job description, but knowing that he is going to use us. Because if he used tax collectors and fishermen to flip the world upside down, he can do it with broken people just like us. See, one body, many parts, for the glory of Christ. So I'm asking you, step into your role. Honor others and serve with joy. I told you, when I came to this church, I was under the impression I would never have to preach. And now I look forward to it because I know God needed me to grow in this area. And I thank you all for believing in me and trusting me. So the same support you give me when I have an off sermon is the same support and love you need to give to each other. Let's let go of the bickering. Let's let go of the animosity. Let's not judge other members because they don't know their Bible as well, or because they sing a little off key, or they clap off beat. Let's be one body. Because we are going to move from this building to a much bigger one. And when that happens, there are going to be new members of the body. And I want to show those new members, this is home for you. You are welcome here. So what is that going to look like? It's like how we started. We're going to go from being rooted in the gospel as our foundation. We are going to be transformed in God's image. We are going to go where he is telling us. And we're going to serve. Church family, say this with me. Your uniqueness isn't an accident, it's an assignment. So let's take our assignment from Jesus and go forward and make disciples in his name. Amen?
Amen.
Let me pray for us. Church family, oh my gosh, let's bow our heads together. Heavenly Father, Lord, I lift up this church family to you. I lift up all of the amazing work that's being done in your name, Lord. I pray that as we explore our gifts, as we explore our talents, as we explore the question of why and where and are we good enough, we're reminded that you are with us. We don't have to rely on our own authority because we have yours. That you have blessed us with the opportunity to come forward and serve. So, Lord, allow us to be members of one body. Allow us to uplift one another. Allow us to grow. Jesus, walk with us each and every day. And as we leave here, we're reminded of the work that you continue to do on our lives. Lord, we know we will never be perfect, but while we spend our time here on earth, we want to spend it glorifying your light and your love to your people. In your name we pray.